Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, I'm sorry, I'm late. Trying to get my computer to act right. Really, you know how you feel like you want to throw something out the window? First of all, I want to tell you and correct something I didn't get an opportunity to correct was the segment name. This is going to be the conclusion of the federal working for the federal government segment tonight. We're going to end this with the last segment, which is going to be, what do I wear to an interview? Okay? If you want to call in, you can call me in at 347-677-1749. Again, that number is 347-677-1749. Let's see. Let's start with, I want to say good afternoon to everyone. Good evening, that is. And I hope your week has been very productive. I hope all the people who have been unemployed haven't had the opportunity to start their year off correctly and found something to be able to feed their families or just feed themselves if you don't have a family and help pay your bills. I hope that you guys have done some soul-searching and kind of renewing yourself in a lot of ways so that you can prepare yourself for this year. And I'm hoping that we can continue doing what we're doing with this show, bringing it more and more, making it more informative, taking it to another level. And I hope you guys still continue to stay with me. Help me out, assist me in any way that I need, because there's a lot of stuff, like I said before, that I don't know. And I really, 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 really would appreciate if you guys email me and let me know what I'm not doing right. Okay. We're going to finish up tonight. Like I said, we're going to kind of review what we learned in the last three weeks, because this is the fourth week right here. And like I said, the discussion was working for the federal government. Let's talk about, and help me with my ums because I'm saying too much. we're going to talk about the first thing we discussed when we started this segment. And we talked about what to expect when applying for a federal position. Secondly, we went over the website usajobs.gov. How to look for a position, what city to look in, what state. I even gave you numbers of how many jobs that were open in those areas after you broke it down. I also showed you or explained to you how to go about reading the job announcements, what you need while you're reading the job announcements, how to follow the instructions on the job announcements, how to contact the responsible person for the job announcement, which is usually someone from the human resource department of any position, and they're broken down because some people have certain services. I told you how to, then we also, last week we talked about and we discussed KSAs and PBI. We know that KSA is knowledge, skills, and abilities. And I gave you examples and samples on how to go about reading those and how to answer them, because you're going to have to answer them. And we talked about the PBI panel, which is called a performance-based interview, and that's where you're sitting across from a panel of people. Sometimes it's two, sometimes it's four, sometimes it's five. It depends on how many people they can get to sit on the panels. Then we discussed what are the questions that can be asked. We went over some of the questions that could be asked at the PBI panel interview. There I go with the again. I cannot get rid of these ums. How would you answer the questions? And I also told you to not only use your experience that you have now, take all your experience, your volunteer experience, your experience from way back when, and you can add it into whatever you need, however you need to answer that question. So basically, your KSAs, the way you answer your KSAs is basically the same way you need to answer your performance-based interview. I also told you, don't be nervous when they tell you, they're going to tell you that they're going to stop after you answer the question they're going to start writing, because what they're doing is they're evaluating you on your answer. So while they're writing, instead of continually talking, go ahead and glance at the next question. And whatever the next question is, that's what you're going to concentrate on and already kind of have an answer for. It's easier to do that. It's easier said than done, because your mind is, you got so much going through your mind. But if you just take a deep breath when you go in there, take a deep breath, relax, and just answer the questions as they go. You know, don't be afraid. I'm not saying don't give enough information, but don't give so much information where you spend more time on one question instead of them being able to move on to the next. So that you can, because most of the time an interview is going to be no more than 30 minutes to an hour, and that's all the time you got to tell to answer the questions. That's how it's set up. So you don't really have that much time. So that's why it's very important for you to answer the question, what they ask, give them as much information you can without giving them too much information. Give them time to write down their evaluation of what you said. And like I said, while they're writing that down, in the meantime, you go ahead and glance at that next question. And believe it or not, I'm telling you these tips because it's tips that I learned. And sitting on PBI panels, I've learned so much from looking at people's reactions and how people present themselves in front of a group. And you pay attention to that. There's my arm again. It's easier to sit here and tell you guys how to go about than to actually put you in a position and you not knowing and you actually having to answer the questions. And what I wanted to do with the performance-based interview, I actually wanted to interact with someone and actually do one so that I could show you the do's and don'ts on how to answer the questions. But I didn't have the opportunity to do that because I couldn't. My son was working. I was going to use my kid, but he was working, so we could never schedule time so we could do that. So you guys can get kind of familiar with how you would do your interview. Another thing to think about is make sure that you've done your homework prior to you coming to the interview. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm hoping discuss this or mention this in the beginning. Make sure you know something about that service that you're applying for, that position that you're applying for. Make sure you know something about that facility that you're going to. Know their mission statement. So whatever you're saying, make sure whatever the answer you're giving to a certain question, because not all the questions are going to be set up that way, but if you hear the question correctly, make sure you're implementing their mission statement in your answer some kind of way. Use a couple of the words from the mission statement. Know what that mission statement is. If you're working for most facilities, they do have websites. You can go to their websites. You can see what their mission statement is and learn their mission statement and then kind of implement it into your answers when you're answering your questions. And I know that sounds like a lot, but it really isn't. It can be done. Excuse me. Once you've done that, I think you can do great on an interview. Because I've sat on interview panels with people that I was like, how in the world? Some of them get chosen, some of them don't. And I don't mind telling people afterwards how they did and how better they can do. I actually developed a PowerPoint telling you how to do a PBI interview, performance-based interview, how to answer the questions. It's at work because that's where I keep most of that stuff. And it came out very well because it helped a couple of people that actually used it and interviewed, and they actually got the job. So I know it's effective. I just got to tweak it a little bit more. And I will be probably bringing this question or this discussion back again because it's very, very, very important that I continue to give you guys the information that you need. Especially with the job market like it is. And I know the internet is flooded with tips on how you go about doing interviews, regular interviews, not just federal government interviews, but interviews, period. So I don't want to overflow you with the only reason why I picked federal government because I work in the federal government. I sat on PBI panels. I have been interviewed myself, so I kind of know, you know, where to go. I would probably be lost if I would have did an interview on the outside in the private sector. I would be lost because I'm so used to the way we interview in the federal government. So to kind of take care of that, we'll move on to the next thing. The next thing we want to talk about is what do I wear? What do I wear to a interview with the federal government? First of all, let me say this. I overheard a conversation. It was on a conference call on a speakerphone, and someone asked how do they go about filling out an application for a certain position. Well, I heard them say, somebody say, you need to go on USA Jobs, but how do I do that? And I wanted to say so badly, if you go to my website, if you go to Blog Talk Radio, you can listen to my show and you'll learn everything you need to learn. But I didn't get an opportunity to tell them that. But it's fine that I didn't. And I felt kind of guilty because I'm always trying to help people. But I'm quite sure if he goes to the website, he probably can see his way through. But I don't mind doing this, and I really would like to have a class on this at work to teach people how to go about applying and interviewing for positions in the federal government. To say this, now, let's move on because I'm done with that. I got to stop going rambling on because sometimes I do find myself rambling on when I don't mean to. Let's talk about now, what do I wear at an interview? I will say this. I sat on a PBI panel with a gentleman that I just couldn't believe that he wore what he wore to an interview. And let me say this. I don't want to sound like I'm talking about the man. Maybe that's all he had to wear. I have to keep that in mind. I just thought maybe he should have found something different. You don't wear a pair of regular pants, okay? There's a difference between pants and slacks. You don't wear a pair of regular pants and a regular knit shirt to an interview with a zip in the front, okay? And short sleeves. I'm sorry. You don't wear that to an interview. I'm not saying put on your Sunday best. But I'm saying come presentable. Everybody doesn't own a suit. Everybody can't afford a suit. Okay? You don't have to wear a suit. A nice tie, a nice shirt, and a nice pair of slacks. Don't tell me you can't find them at Walmart, because I know that's not true. Don't tell me you can't go to the Goodwill and find it if you don't have that kind of money. I know that's not true. Salvation Army, I know that's not true. Don't tell me you can't borrow it. I know that sounds kind of funky, but don't tell me you cannot borrow it from somebody, because I know that's not true. So what I'm saying is take time to take pride in yourself before you go on an interview. Some people already normally know how to dress to go to most interviews. Some people don't. That goes for the women, too. Don't walk in an interview dressed like you're going to the club. Okay? Don't come in there with no stiletto heels on, no mini skirt on, with your belly out because you'd be surprised, and tied up in the front, chewing gum, with your big loop earrings on. And believe it or not, I'm not just talking about one race. I'm talking about anybody, okay? With your big purse hanging off your shoulder, walking in there, you're sitting up there with no type of respect for yourself. Don't do it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if it was me making the deciding factor, the way you present yourself would automatically be a no-go for me. Period. Women need to dress accordingly. Find you a nice suit, nice dress. Most of the colors, and that's for males and females, are you want to wear black, a neutral color like a brown, or a navy. Those are the main three colors that you want to wear to an interview. You don't want to wear nothing that's too flashy. You can't. I'm not saying you can't, but a bright orange dress with some bright orange shoes, no. What you can do is you can wear a pump with a small heel on them. I know they're out there because I got three pair. I got a brown pair. I have a navy pair. I got four pair. Let me say this. I have a brown pair. I have a navy pair. I have a tan pair, and I have a black pair. And anytime I do interviews, those are the shoes I wear. I have a navy suit. I have a tan suit. I have a black suit and a brown suit. And either one of those suits is what I'm going to wear to an interview. I even have dresses that kind of coincide with what you'd wear to an interview. They're not my Sunday best. They're actually my clothes for interviews. When it comes to your hair, me, I usually wear wigs. And if I'm going to, most of the time when I do interviews, I try, most of the time I'll either wear a shoulder-length wig or I'll pin my wig up that I have that day. Okay, I'll pin it up in a nice bun in the back or I'll pin it where it's not looking like I normally wear it. I wear it down. Not saying you can't wear your hair down. I'm just saying for me to look presentable, I will wear my hair in a fashionable way that will be complimenting what I'm coming for as far as my interview goes. I prefer, you know, women to wear stockings. I don't wear stockings. It's just a dress thing, wearing it with your dresses. I don't wear them, so you really can't see my legs majority of the time. But if you do, my legs are nicely. I'm talking about shaving women. It's a personal hygiene thing. If you are going to wear your legs out, make sure you shave. If you are going to wear shoes with a heel on it, make sure it's not a higher heel, no more than 3 inches if it's that high. Don't come in here with no 4-inch heels on because I promise you it will not look nice. I'm not saying that they won't pick you up because you could be an excellent interviewee. But you still, your presentation comes from the outside. The way you present yourself from the outside is how they're going to see you. Don't come there chewing gum. Your makeup, make your makeup moderate. You know, a little powder, little blush. Make your eyeshadow not so revealing or you can know that you have it on. Your lipstick. Sometimes you can wear like a lip gloss. You don't necessarily have to wear a whole lipstick. You can wear like a lip gloss on your earrings. Let's get to the jewelry part. I wear big, gaudy jewelry sometimes. I know when I go on an interview, I don't wear that. What I usually do is I put on my little small earrings, if I wear any at all, and maybe a little small necklace, if I wear one at all. I try not to. If I do, I can't remember whether or not I might wear one or two bracelets on my wrist, but I make sure, and I don't have a lot of my rings on, gaudy rings. Don't wear that at an interview. You want to look appealing, and more people can look at you while you're doing the interview because they're going to be staring at you in the face. So they want to have something they can look at that's soft and calming and not threatening and, you know, and boisterous, you know. So you have to be careful what you wear to interviews. And I know I'm quite sure I'm talking to people who's probably been on millions of interviews, know how to dress, know how to interview, know how to do that. But I'm talking to people who don't also. Okay? Let's see. What else can we discuss about interviewing? Make sure you pay attention to what you say. Think before you talk. Make sure I talk with my hands. It's very hard for me to sit with my hands folded. It's very hard for me to sit prim and proper with my hands in my lap. I can't do it. I talk with my hands. I'm talking with my hands now, even though I'm on the radio. You can't see me. I'm still talking with my hands because that's how I express myself. And it's the way that I can, it's like I think people can understand my hands better than they can understand what comes out of my mouth. So you pick what's going to be comfortable for you. Another tip you can do is before an interview, either get someone to interview with you or you can get in the mirror by yourself if you don't have anybody to interview with you. Ask yourself some questions. If you go to the website, let me tell you where you need to go to get some of these questions from. There's a website, and it's PBI.gov. Right now, I think they're working on it, but it's the website where you find the PBI questions, or just Google performance-based interview questions, and you will find sample questions that you can ask and answer yourself. Okay? Once you do that, you can get in the mirror, find you a couple of questions that you want to ask yourself, and get in the mirror and actually ask yourself the questions and see how you answer them. And look in the mirror so you can see and pretend that you're looking. The mirror is the people that are going to be asking you the questions. Lots of times on the PBI panels in the federal government, it's usually somebody from that service. It's usually a supervisor from another service or another department that's going to be sitting on that panel. And you, most of the time, there always is a union observer or a union rep. And the reason why a union observer is there is so that everybody is equally asked the same questions. And nobody's, you know, they're not getting over. So there's a fair treatment all the way across the board. That's one of the reasons why there is a union rep. Let's see what else we can talk about when it comes to interviewing federal government. Now, once you have interviewed, it is good to ask some sort of question, because the last question they're going to ask you, is there anything that you want to ask of us? And we'll do our best to answer the question. Lots of times, the first thing we want to ask is, when will I hear about the job? Actually, you have to understand, the PBI panel is not the deciding factor. Whoever is over that service is the person who is going to be the deciding factor. They're not going to be sitting on the panel, okay? So don't ask, let me not say this. I'm not going to say for you not to ask that question, but really it's not a question that you're not going to get the answer that you want from it, because they don't make the deciding factor. And they're going to tell you that human resources is the one who's going to call you. It's not going to be that chief of that service. Most of the time it's human resources, because once the PBI panel is done, that information all goes back, if I'm not mistaken, to human resources, or goes back to the chief of that service so they can look over the numbers and evaluate and see what the numbers, because there's a score that has to come up. And then human resources is the one who contacts you to let you know whether or not you got the job. So you can ask that question because that's the answer you're going to get. Some people put it in a different way, but they're not the deciding factor sitting there asking you the questions. They're not the deciding factor. So don't let someone tell you that they are. They're not. There's an word again. You could, I keep saying, I'm sorry, you guys. I want to say something else with that. Okay. And I never thought about it, what type of questions to ask at the end of an interview. I think the last interview I went on, I said I didn't have any questions. The questions I could have asked was, lots of times, the job tells you, the announcement tells you what the job entails, the duties and responsibilities. But you can elaborate on that by what particular areas will you think, I mean, will I be working in, and how do you do the training if I'm not familiar with something or something like that. Those kind of questions are the questions you ask. Or if they ask, it necessarily don't have to be a question. You can make a comment. I know that I would be best for this position and your service because of such and such and such and such. You can say something in that particular. Give yourself, pump yourself up a little bit at the end. If you felt that you've done a great, great interview, pump yourself up at the end. And then what you can do is, once you're finished with the interview, you go back, you take a deep breath, you're glad it's over with, you can go back and then you can send out thank you letters to the facility or the department that actually interviewed you. Okay? That would be like if you're already a federal, if you're already a federal employee, you know what service you're going to, you can actually drop them an email or, you know, send them a card through the inner office mail, you know, just something to thank them for taking their time out to interview you, a little appreciation. And lots of people do that, you know. I don't say it's going to help put your application at the top of the list, but it does help. Now, majority of the time, and I'm not for sure if it's federal government wide, but I know some places will pick the top three. In those top three, they will interview again. And that's not always the way it goes, but there's times when they'll pick top three, and then they interview those people again, the top three again. And out of those three, that's where that one person is chosen from, okay? So that means you'll have to do another interview again. Now, lots of times that second interview is with that person that works in that service, okay? Keep that in mind. That second interview is most of the time is with that person that's in that service, okay? So that means that they're going to be asking you the same scenario questions, but you have to tweak them, pay attention to what they're saying, and always remember this, and I'm going on and on because things are coming to my mind as I'm speaking with you guys. There is a time when you might not understand the question. When you don't understand a question, you are allowed to ask them repeat it. And if you don't get the answer right then and there, you can ask to let them. Most of the time they will say, we can come back to this question if you can't get it now. And then if you're nervous to answer that, if you're nervous and you can't answer that question, that'll give you time to go ahead and move on to the next question. And then when they come back, you'll be calm and you'll be ready to answer that question. It is always a mind thing when it comes to interviews. Interviews are very high-pressure things that happen and processes, and it really does. I know every time I go on one, I'm nervous no matter what, and I don't care how many I go on. I'm still nervous. And it's just a thing I think we all do. There was one panel I sat on, and this girl literally was shaking, and we had to stop the interview because she was so nervous. I mean, she was so nervous, she was shaking. And I had never seen that before. That fascinated me. I had never seen that before. So before you go into an interview, take your time. especially if you've never worked for the federal government. That's why it's so important. It's so important for you to go on usajobs.gov. It's so important for you to go to www.pbi.gov website. It's so important for you to Google performance-based interviews simply so that you know how to answer those questions, so you don't have a problem with answering. It's so important for you to know the mission statement of that department, that agency that you're going to work for, that service that you're going to work for. Most of the time, the mission statement is going to come from not the service, but the agency you work for. Be familiar with that agency. Know who they have there. Know what they do. You have to know that, because that shows that you know enough that, hey, I'm interested enough. Because sometimes we interview for jobs that, you know, hey, I need a job. And that attitude you take with you when you go in there, I don't care what happens, I need a job. Just give me a job. It doesn't work like that. You have to go in there and you have to literally sell yourself. You're a product. You're a product that you want this agency to buy, to invest in. So you have to sell yourself. You have to know how to sell yourself. It's hard sometimes, and sometimes as long as you feel comfortable with yourself, it's not hard for you to do. You can do it. Now, I hope I've helped you guys dealing with employment with the federal government. I hope I gave you guys some great tips. Please let me know if I did. Please let me know if I didn't give enough. You can call me at 347-677-1749. Now, I want to move on to something. We're going to talk about the upcoming events for the month of February, okay? I know I have another show before February starts, but I'm going to start my Black History in February. On my next show in January. What I want to do is, I want to start history from slavery, and I will be starting that next Thursday. Matter of fact, I'm a calendar person, so I want to see exactly what next Thursday is, because guess what? I haven't got it set up yet, but I already know what I'm going to do. And it won't take me long to do it. Next Thursday is the 4th, February the 4th. So we will be in the month of February already. So February the 4th, which is Thursday at 8 o'clock, as usual, same time, same back station, we'll start our Black History for the month of Black History Month. And I want to start the first segment. We want to talk about slavery. Now, what I might do is, maybe I might not do slavery on the first one. What I'll do is I'll go further back, a little bit further back about our people. And the first Thursday will be about our people. The next Thursday is going to be dealing with slavery. Then that next Thursday, we're going to deal with the 50s and 60s. Well, let's say slavery to 30s and 40s, and then 50s and 60s, and then we're going to go up to, when I end in the month of February, we will be at the point where we're into what's going on now with the new president and all the issues that are going on now that we didn't have to deal with back then. So I'm going to try to make sure that I can get some good guests and with some great information that we can share with you guys. And make sure you guys are knowledgeable of what your history is about. And it's not only in the month of February that we can do this. We can do this any time of the year. But February, for one thing, was allocated to us. We just got through, celebrating Martin Luther King's birthday, you know. So now, also in the month of February, you know, we have two other holidays. We have Valentine's Day, which falls on a Sunday this year. And then we have February the 15th, which is President's Day. So we have another holiday coming up. On geared toward February the 14th, which is going to be February the 11th, we're going to do a combination of a show. We're going to do heart, talking about love, and we're going to talk about whatever the segment is going to be about that day. So we're going to split that segment and have 30 and 30. I'm going to try to do it that way. And I am going to try my best to make sure we have guests through the month of February. I've already started talking to a couple of people. All I got to do is get their signature and saying that they're going to be available for those dates. We're going to make sure that the information, again, that I'm giving out that is accurate, as close to accurate as I can get it. Please do not hesitate to let me know if you don't agree with something I said. I try to keep positive things on my show. I try to keep positive subjects. But sometimes things can get where I'm not getting enough information, and it can be confusing, but if I ever confuse you, please let me know. Please do not hesitate, and I say that over and over again because I want you guys to talk to me and let me know how you feel about my show and how important. And I know guests make a show. I know that. And people listen more if you had guests. I think I'm a great guest myself. But I will work harder to get guests. This year, this month, in the month of January, we didn't have any guests at all. But the month of February, I am trying to at least get me at least two guests for the month of February. I want to say this, too. On the 16th of February, which is Tuesday, that is my birthday, and I will be a lovely 46 years old, and I'm going to be very proud to be 46, because that is a gift from God that I lived that long. Now, I don't want to cut my show short because I did start a little bit late. So, what I would like to do is, let's see if I can find you something to do at this time. I'll find you some music to play. Now, also in the month of February, I want to try and hopefully somebody call me and want to be interviewed over the phone. That would be nice to do. If I can get some cooperation out of you guys, that would be great to do. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be silent like that. I was looking at something, making sure I've gone over all my notes with you guys. Let's see. Like I said, for the month of February, we can go back to that. I want to be able for you guys to call in and ask me questions, be online when I'm online so that we'd have a lot to talk about. There will be more music. There will definitely be more music. There will definitely be more music for us. So look forward to we having different artists that's going to help us out, because I love playing music. Okay. Give me one second here. sorry, you guys. I got sidetracked here. Just a second. Okay. I don't know if I played this before. For I'll let a couple of songs play. So this is Bobby Womack and Patti LaBelle. Love Is Gonna Come at Last.
Here's the way.
right, that was a little of Corrine Bailey Rae. Yeah, that's her name. And the name of that song was Breathless. I'm hoping I'm helping everyone, and I keep saying that because it's bothering me. I'm hoping I'm helping everyone. If you have any questions, please. You can catch me at sensible64@yahoo.com. I also have a Facebook page where my Blog Talk Radio announcements are on there. My Facebook page is Salita McCall, Facebook.com/Salita McCall. You can drop me a line on Facebook. You can email me, Sensible64. You can email me here on Blog Talk Radio, ChocolateLady64. You can, my website, it's up. It's out there, but I have not touched it. I have to find time to really, really work it, and I keep saying that, but I haven't had the time to do it. Between work, my show, helping people, I'm going to take off some couple of days in February so that I can start working on some stuff. I'm in the process of writing a play, so I'm very busy all the time. I try to stay as busy as I can. And we'll be talking about playwriting and plays later on. That is coming up, and I'm going to also interview a playwriter, or playwright, that is. That's very good. Me and her have collaborated on a couple of plays ourselves, dramatic plays ourselves. So she'll be coming up, and I'm thinking about the month of March being the creative month where we're starting to do stuff. We're getting people involved, like arts and stuff like that. So enough about that. Can't think too much far ahead because then I'll lose where I'm at. Like I said, next month is February, which is Black History Month, which is President's Day, which is my birthday and my mom's birthday and my nephew's birthday. All were born in February, and my sister's birthday. So there's a lot of celebration that's going to there's going to be a lot of celebration in the month of February. And like I said, the Black History Month is going to start, and like I said, I want to start at probably at the biblical side of slavery, and we're going to work our way into slavery itself. Then we're going to work our way into us after slavery, what comes after slavery, how do we handle life after slavery, all the way up to the present time. So I'm hoping all the information I have, you guys will learn from it. I want to say again, thank you guys for listening. I want to say good night. More music. Just tell me you want more music. I will bring out more music. More good guests. I will get more guests. I want to say thank you again, you guys. Have a great night. I love you. Bye-bye.